This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
When companies raise prices, figuring customers will just blame inflation, some call it capitalism, some call it greedflation. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The federal government is levying penalties on makers of 48 medicines for, the Fed say, raising prices faster than the rate of inflation. This is a new power granted in last year's Inflation Reduction Act. The Biden administration says people on Medicare will start seeing discounts in the new year. Marketplace's Nova Safo has more.
The drugs identified by federal officials are injectables administered at a hospital or clinic and covered under Medicare Part B. In announcing the list of 48, President Biden accused drug companies of price gouging.
They're ripping off Medicare. They're ripping off the American people.
Financial penalties will come in the form of required rebates to the Medicare program, passed on to beneficiaries in the form of lower coinsurance payments for those drugs. Savings could total as much as $2,800 per dose.
These drugs are used by 750,000 Americans.
Among the most heavily discounted will be vancomycin, an antibiotic of last resort used for serious infections, including those that cause life-threatening sepsis. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
In early trading, the Dow is down 48 points, a tenth of a percent. The NASDAQ is up 0.3%, but the S&P is down 0.1%. The S&P had been approaching a new all-time high. We'll see, as today is a busy one for the expiration of options, index options, and futures. Triple witching day, it is called. Tends to produce a scramble. Plus, investors like to rebalance portfolios and lock in gains this close to the end of the year. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FHN Financial here in New York. Hey, Chris.
Good morning, David.
I mean, it has been quite a turnabout on the stock market as we got into fall with winter threatening in a couple days here. What a about face.
It's been crazy. And of course, at the heart of the craziness is the Fed, which insisted meeting after meeting through the second half that no, rate hikes are coming. You just wait. Apparently pivoting this week to, we're actually talking about cuts.
I'm all for not losing money in the stock market, but I mean, you start to worry about, is this overdone? Is this a bubble?
You really do. I think John Authors over at Bloomberg, he put it really well this morning, saying it's starting to look like a melt up. And he said, no, don't laugh. The Russell 2000, which is the small cap index, was at a 52-week low a month ago. It's now at a 52-week high. That kind of swing hasn't happened since the 1970s.
The mood certainly switched. Christopher Lowe, chief economist, FHN Financial. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
The S&P is up about 23% year so far. Meanwhile, the NASDAQ is up 43% year so far. The benchmark 10-year interest rate this morning, steady, 3.93%. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
Atlas, the titan who had to hold up the heavens for eternity, was the metaphor used by an economist on this program to describe how U.S. consumers keep holding up the economy. This week, government data show consumers defied expectations of a downturn and shopped more in November. Some of it is buy now, pay later. Some of it is MasterCard Visa. But still, consumers seem to have faith enough in the economic prospects. Surprising, given the low marks they give to the economy when pollsters call. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
Consumers are buying up everything from cosmetics to sporting goods to furniture. Chris Jackson surveys consumers at public opinion firm Ipsos.
The number of people saying that they're comfortable with making a major purchase or a household purchase is improved.
They're not just spending on stuff, also services and entertainment, says Sophia Baig at Morning Consult.
Especially this summer, we saw a big boom in that on recreation, Taylor Swift concerts, traveling.
AAA predicts near record travel for the holidays. But there's also a disconnect here between consumer spending, which is exuberant, and consumer sentiment, which is down in the dumps.
I do think the relationship has become a little messed up.
Big says consumers drive the economy, and yet
consumer sentiment has never really recovered since the pandemic. It's a little confusing as an economist to figure out why people feel so bad, but yet people are spending as if they feel good.
Chris Jackson at Ipsos sees an overwhelming sense of precariousness.
Even as there's not actually a lot of people reporting job losses, people are pretty stable in terms of personal finances. They don't know what's going to come next, so there's a sense of anxiety.
Then again, maybe spending it up is just a distraction.
The form of retail therapy about all the uncertainty in the world.
Don't worry, go shopping. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Developers of affordable housing and some landlords say they're being hammered by high insurance premiums, this in part because of climate change. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has that.
At The Terraces, an apartment building in Arlington, Virginia, nobody pays more than 30% of their earnings in rent. 59-year-old Vivian Jenkins moved in 4 months ago.
So I moved here August 9th.
Jenkins and I are walking into her one-bedroom apartment. She moved here after being evicted when she lost her job while in the hospital. Now, between her disability check and part-time work, drawing blood in a medical lab, she's able to cover her rent of about $1,300 a month.
It's a nice place. I love it.
This is one of 54 properties owned by the nonprofit Affordable Homes and Communities. Josh Childs is a development manager. He's giving me a tour of The Terraces. As we navigate a stairwell, Childs tells me the group's insurance bill soared about 30% this year. He worries that pricier insurance will crowd out programs for residents.
We have a huge education program for literacy and helping kids from pre-K through our college, high school graduation programs.
Affordable Homes and Communities tried to cut its insurance costs by joining kind of an insurance co-op, the Housing Partnership Insurance Exchange. It was created in 2004 by affordable housing operators who couldn't afford their insurance. Paul Bernard is vice chair of the exchange. He says premiums for next year shot up.
We saw increases as low as 34% and as high as 104%.
Bernard says the pandemic pushed up premiums, and so has climate change.
Whether it's flooding or it's fires on the West Coast, we believe that those are adding sort of inflationary pressure to our premiums.
Thank you so much. That was great.
This issue was top of mind at a recent affordable housing conference in Washington. The first panel discussion of the day was entitled Climate Impact, Housing Insurance Crisis. Maria Lobo was there. She's a senior vice president at the global insurance brokerage Gallagher. She says insurers also charge affordable housing operators more because there's a perception they're just a riskier bet.
Underwriters tend to charge about 10 to 15% more than the standard market rate for affordable housing.
10 to 15% more.
Correct.
And Lobo says it doesn't help that fewer and fewer insurance companies are willing to cover anyone in the states most exposed to climate change. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
And dare I say, I don't like holiday music. I hear it as a consumer spending promotion device. Well, two of my childhood pals separately became music stars and make holiday music. In the Marketplace Morning Report podcast feed today, my old pals try to set me straight. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with our Morning Report. APM, American Public Media.